Yes, so do you have Bibles open at Psalm 27? That would be great. So yeah, as Chris has mentioned, as Kate has mentioned, we're beginning a new term at Avenue, thinking about some of our priorities for growth as a church. So we're back in Clarendon Park, we're back at Avenue Primary School. I'm back from my sabbatical, which I said a few weeks ago, if you weren't here, thank you everyone for letting me take that time away. And we want at the beginning of this new term to remind ourselves of sort of a conviction we felt the Lord give to us as a church a couple of years ago, which is very simply, we want to grow at Avenue. And that doesn't sound very controversial. Of course, a church like ours would want to grow, but we find it helpful to state that ambition clearly, that we want to grow spiritually and numerically as a church. We want to grow spiritually in our love for Jesus, our knowledge and obedience of the living God. And we want to grow numerically as we see people in this part of Leicester, people we know, come to know and love Jesus for themselves, whether they are children, whether they are adults, whatever stage of life they find themselves at. And in particular, we felt, we sort of settled on three particular areas of growth as a church, which we're going to look at the next couple of weeks. And we want to grow in worship, in prayer, and in mission. And we're going to begin this term by looking at each of those in turn. So next week, we're going to be looking at growing in prayer. We're going to look at what Jesus teaches his disciples about prayer in Luke chapter 11, when they say, teach us how to pray. We're going to listen to what Jesus says about that. We're going to think in our third week, about mission, looking at the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthians, saying, live as ambassadors for Christ wherever God has placed you. What does that mean for us as individuals and as a church? But our focus today is on worship. And we're going to look at Psalm 27 to sort of guide our thoughts. This provides us with a prayer from King David, the ruler of God's people, 1,000 years before Jesus, and a prayer that's at its heart a desire to grow in worship and to draw near to God and enjoy him forever. Very much in the similar territory as Julian of Norwich's thoughts there, turning our faces to God, wanting him to turn his face to us. And the prayer that's really at the heart of this psalm is on the screen there. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. So let's ask God to help us as we look at this together. Let's pray. Father God, we understand when we come before you that, Lord, you are our God. You are the God who made us. And, Lord, every part of our lives belongs to you. But, Lord, also we acknowledge that we kick against that and we try and dodge your lordship. We try and live lives just for ourselves. And when we hear about a call to grow in worship, we think that just doesn't mean anything. Father, please, in your mercy and by your Spirit, would you help us to understand more what it means to worship you? And would you give each one of us a desire to grow in that worship, to share the heartbeat of David here? Would that be our desire as individuals and as a church family here at Avenue? For your glory and for our joy in knowing you, we ask it. Amen. Now, I wonder if you could ask God for one thing in your life right now, what would it be? I'm just going to give it. I'm not going to ask you to shout it out, but just think for a minute. If you could ask God for one thing in your life right now, what would it be? It can be hard, actually, to answer that question. I suspect for many of us, we think, well, there are just so many things. I can't really focus it down on just one thing. For others among us, maybe it's very easy. We can just say the one thing I need right now is financial security. I need a better job. I need physical healing for myself or for someone I love. I need a happier marriage. Or maybe I need a marriage partner in the first place. I just need a decent night's sleep. I think maybe young children can sort of militate against that. But what is that one thing you would ask God for this morning? Because Psalm 27 captures for us this one thing that King David is asking for. And if you look at the whole of the psalm, we didn't read all of it, but if you look at it maybe later or just glance at it now, we'll actually see that like so many of the psalms of David, this takes place at a time when David is sort of under siege. There are enemies out to get him. There are people lying about him. He is feeling the pressure of war and people pursuing him. And for some of those instances, that's not just figurative language for David. He actually did have people pursuing him and armies out to get him. So this one thing doesn't suggest he's on a spiritual retreat. He's up on a mountaintop somewhere just pondering life. He is right in the thick of strain and anxiety and pressure. And yet here, the one thing David asks of God is to draw closer to God. The one thing David wants from God is God himself. He wants to know God better and love God more. He wants to see more of God's beauty, he says. He wants to listen more closely to God's voice, to seek him in his temple. David wants more of God. And in that, I think it's just such an astonishing, focused prayer for us to think about this morning. There are so many things we worry about, so many things we struggle with. But that one thing David longs for, is that what we long for? Do we long for more of God, to draw near to the God who has first drawn near to us? Now, before we all feel very guilty, we need to be honest. Actually, there's lots of psalms in the book of Psalms, lots of them written by David, and David prays for lots of different things. This isn't the only prayer we have of David's. But I think the focus of this prayer, the simplicity of it, is something we can learn from. And I think in one sense, David is the king of God's people. He's inviting God's people corporately to share in this prayer, to join with him in this prayer, to want to grow in worship of the God of grace. Now, before we look at the prayer in focus, it's worth reminding ourselves, it's been actually nearly 2 years now, why we identified worship as an area that we want to grow in at Avenue. So the three priorities of growth we're looking at came out of a number of elders discussions nearly 2 years ago and a number of family meetings we had as a church. And we sort of tried to step back and say, what are our strengths and our weaknesses as a church? And we sort of landed on these three areas to grow: worship, prayer, and mission. And just to do a quick plug for those who don't know or who maybe are new around, family meetings we do once a month on the second Tuesday of the month. They're hugely strategic times for us to come together and pray for the life of our church and discuss the life of our church. So some of this came out of family meeting discussions. So really try and make it, if you can, to family meeting. I know lots of people say, great, and a night off from home group. But do come to family meetings. It's a time for us to gather together and think what the Lord wants us to be doing for him. But why did we feel then that worship was an area we wanted to grow in? There's kind of a big theological reason for it, then two more focused ones. The big theological reason was, so every single one of us is created to worship God. Worship's a vital part of what it means to be human. God saves people in order that we may worship him. Jesus died and rose again to restore us into people who don't worship other gods or ourselves, but who worship the living God. So the big picture reason is that worship is at the heart of what it means to belong to God and to be saved by him. But more specifically, what struck me a lot in our discussions was we wanted to grow in worship because we saw the danger of activism replacing worship and the dangers of head knowledge replacing worship. Now, what else do we mean by that? Well, activism. We are an active church at Avenue, and actually we have to be. We have to set up a Sunday morning every Sunday. We have to take it down on a Sunday evening. This summer we were meeting in a different school across town. Loads of people work really hard week in, week out to enable us to function on a Sunday, and that doesn't even include the things people do throughout the week with home groups and youth groups and other things we're committed to. We are an active church, and that's a good thing. We've got a fun day today. People have been working hard in the playground getting that ready, and that encourages me. It's a sign of God's grace to us that we do long to serve each other. But what struck me in our discussions as elders and in those family meetings was we saw the danger that what we do together, the things we're committed to serving in, can actually sometimes distract us from the person we're seeking to serve, the person we want to know, the God of grace. Activism can be a great thing, but if it actually starts to obscure our vision of God, of who he is and what he has done for us, not what we do for him, what he has done for us, then that's something we need to take seriously. Worship is important because it's all about remembering and receiving God's grace to us in Jesus. It reminds us that life isn't all about us. Ultimately, it's about him, what he has done, what he will do in this world, what he wants to do in us and through us. That is why we want to grow in worship. And the dangers of head knowledge, I guess we just saw that there's a danger we can maybe know a lot about God, about Jesus, about the Bible. But if that's not moving us to love him and obey him in our lives, then again, we take that seriously. We see that knowledge actually as being useless. So that's why we felt, nearly 2 years ago now, we want to grow in worship at Avenue. But I've already said this morning, worship's one of those massive, big words. It's kind of loaded with so many meanings. We kind of struggle to know, what does that actually mean? So I think David in this prayer in Psalm 27 gives us some good things to hang our understanding of worship on. According to David here, worship, it's all about receiving from God, receiving God's welcome, dwelling with him. Worship's all about seeing God's beauty, gazing on his beauty, says David. And worship's all about listening to God's voice, seeking him. So let's look briefly at each of these. First of all, if you look down at verse 4, that's really where we're going to sort of spend our time this morning mostly. Worship's all about receiving God's welcome. Verse 4, this only do I seek, says David, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Actually, it's a beautiful picture here of David dwelling with the Lord, being so at home with God, living in his house alongside his people. And that word dwell, it's a deeply relational word. It's not just that I would live near you, God, or that I might sometimes you stop by and say hello. Dwell is about being at home, making your home with someone. And David wants to be at home with the Lord, to make his home with God. And we need to see this morning, for an Old Testament believer, and indeed for us as well, that is a really bold request to make. David is saying, God, I want to move in with you. I want to be completely just under the same roof with you. I want to be close to you all the time. And you kind of think, be careful what you wish for, David. How many of us sometimes just want to just shut God out for a bit? This is my time. It's what I want to do. This is my secret, my desire. And you hear David is saying, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Isn't that just an invitation to be just consumed by God, to be wiped out by a holy God who sees everything David is doing and thinking? Well, I think David can make a request like that because of the God he's speaking to. If you look at verse 1 of Psalm 27 for a moment here, this is how David begins. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's not afraid of dwelling with the Lord because of who the Lord is. And who is the Lord? He is his light, his salvation. David says, the Lord is the one who broke into the darkness of this world and shone his light around me. The Lord's the one who saved me, who rescued me when I could not save myself. And as a result, I'm already in his debt. I'm already receiving so much from him that I want to dwell with him. I want to receive the welcome he has already offered me. You see, worship, according to David, is not about things that we do primarily. It's about what we're willing to receive from God. It's not what we achieve, it's what we are willing to receive from God. And when someone put it like that to me once, it's just a weird way of putting it. You go, well, surely we just receive everything from God. We want things from God. But actually, sometimes we want to pay him back. Sometimes we want to earn his approval. Sometimes we want to stand a little bit above other people to say, I'm really worshiping and they're not. But actually, worship here for David is so focused on God and focused on receiving God's light and salvation that that is what matters to David, all that matters to him. Worship is never about us earning God's approval. It's about us receiving God's welcome. It's about us saying, God has reached down and revealed himself to me and rescued me, and I now want to live my life getting in step with that welcome. Getting in step with that God who has loved me and rescued me. Again, for a Christian here this morning, reading an Old Testament psalm like this always will, it'll point beyond itself to Jesus, the light of the world, the Son of God, who entered our world to rescue us. And as we think about receiving God's welcome, growing in worship as we receive God's welcome, so what came to my mind this week was sort of a story that Jesus told, one of his parables, the parable of the lost son. And if you know the story, it's one of his most glorious stories, the sense of this son who runs away from home, who just rejects his dad, wishes his dad was dead. He runs, squanders everything, makes a mess of things, comes back tentatively thinking, will he accept me? Will he take me back? And instead his father runs and throws his arms around him and embraces him. The welcome that son receives is just off the scale. But in a sense, when the parable ends, this son is now beginning to dwell again with his father. He's received the welcome, but now he gets to live with his dad. And that will only deepen his understanding of just how deeply his father loves him. That dwelling language, that it's a process that takes time. It only can happen if we're first of all welcomed in. But if we are, then we dwell as we grow in our love and obedience of Jesus. In that parable, if you imagine the sequel, it would be the younger son has lots of bad habits. He's got to unlearn. Stop eating the pig food could be one of them. But I don't think they had pigs. But there's a sense of just his habits are ingrained in him. But now he's dwelling with his father. He's been welcomed home. And the one thing he wants is to dwell, to be at home again. It doesn't happen instantly, but he seeks more of this father, to know him better, to get to know him in a deeper way. So to dwell in the house of the Lord, says David, is to continue to remind ourselves of the welcome we've received and then seek to understand more of the God who welcomes us, to dwell in his house, says David. And that's a really corporate image, actually. It's not something we can do on our own. We need other Christians around us, brothers and sisters in Christ, to help us dwell together in the house of the Lord. Again, I've had a few months on sabbatical recently, and that's been some good time, quite a bit of time on my own. But I think more and more I got convinced I need other people. I need people to spur me on, to encourage me, to challenge me. And we all need that. To dwell in the house of the Lord is not just to be you and God. It's God and his people of which you are a part. Make your home with God, says David. That is his desire. That's the desire he invites us to share with him. See yourself as loved by this God, forgiven by this God, adopted by this God. Worship's about receiving from God, receiving his welcome and dwelling with him. And then he adds to the picture by saying that worship is also about seeing God's beauty. He's dwelling in the house of the Lord, but now he wants to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Verse 4 again. And that word gaze, it suggests it's like dwell. It's not sort of an instant or a passing thing. Gaze, it's a focused turning of his face towards the Lord. David wants to see God for who he really is, and he wants more than that, to enjoy God as beautiful. I guess one of these striking bits of the Bible where God is described explicitly as beautiful. That's not just some people say, well, that's just mystical talk from maybe Dame Julian of Norwich or whatever. He'll go, well, that's not a Bible category. It is a Bible category. God is beautiful. David is convinced of that, and he wants to see the beauty of the Lord here. Of course, David faced a problem. He, like every good Old Testament believer, knew he cannot look at God and live. The book of Exodus tells us when Moses asked to see God's glory on Mount Sinai, God responded, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." What he's saying there is that God is holy. He is white hot in his holiness. He is perfect, a consuming fire. No sinful, broken, foolish human being can take a long look at God and live to tell the tale. We'll be burned up by God's holiness. So what does David mean here? Look, I think this psalm is pointing us beyond Moses, pointing us to when the Son of God, David's descendant, Jesus, will enter the world. Before Jesus, we could not look at God and live. With the coming of Jesus, we can see the glory of God in the face of Christ. Jesus says, you want to know what God is like? Look at me. To see God's beauty, we look at Jesus. If we doubt that God is good or kind or merciful, we look at Jesus. We see the way he has compassion on a widow. We see the way he feeds a hungry crowd. We see the way he stands up to demons when they're possessing individuals. We see the way he weeps at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. If we want to see the beauty of the Lord, we look at Jesus. And supremely, to see the beauty of the Lord, we look at the cross. And again, it is a strange beauty. When we think of that word beauty, we might think of things like sort of flawless skin, youth and energy, great hair, white teeth. We might think of just the beauty of a sunrise or a coastline or a newborn baby. And here God reveals his beauty with a man hanging on a cross, suffering that we would be reconciled to God, suffering that we could be welcomed home by our Father in heaven. The beauty of the Lord is a strange beauty. You couldn't make it up. But actually, it's a richer beauty as a result. It's a beauty that's more glorious in that it faces up to the ugliness of this world and the ugliness in our hearts. It takes that ugliness on himself at the cross. And then Jesus gives us his beauty and his righteousness. Even in this psalm, Psalm 27, we see the beauty of the Lord in the way he treats undeserving people, like David, like us. David's desire is a desire to see God for who he is, because he's glimpsed a bit of how God treats people. He's glimpsed a bit of how good God is, and he wants to see more. And that, again, is what it means to grow in worship. We see something of the grace of God, something of his mercy, his compassion, his holiness. But we understand, actually, we need to see more. We need a bigger vision of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if we are going to be sustained in our lives for him in this world. See, all too often, I think our worship life suffers. We suffer because often our vision of God is just too small. People are massive. God is tiny in our thinking. God's all very well, but what about that person I've got to deal with? What about that situation that is just overwhelming me? David says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. He wants his vision of God to overarch his vision of anything else, because then he is ready to face the other things. He is ready to face his enemies, verse 2, the people lying about him, his limitations, his challenges. He wants to look and gaze on the beauty of the Lord. And finally, he wants to listen to God's voice. It's looking and listening together for David. That's verse 4. David says he wants to seek the Lord in his temple. Seek the Lord means, sir, to ask for his guidance, to inquire what his will is, to study and learn from this God. David doesn't just want to look at the Lord, he wants to listen to him as well. And worship is all about listening to God's voice. And we hear God's voice, the Bible tells us, through the Bible. That is the supreme, perfect revelation of who God is. We look at God's word to hear God's voice, but actually so often we look at God's word just because we kind of know we should. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, if you've hung around with churches any length of time, you know, oh yeah, we've got to look at the Bible, don't we? That's what we do. Get through it and move on to other things. But actually here, David's talking about seeking God in his temple. He's talking about expectancy. I feel like, and that's sort of the word that's just really stood out for me coming to this passage today, expectancy. Do we expect God to speak to us through his word? Do we expect God to reveal more of his beauty to us and among us as a church in the coming term, in the coming months? Again, part of sabbatical was a privilege. I got to visit lots of different churches and saw really good things. Things were really stretching for me. It was a really good time. I'm glad I'm back. But one thing that did strike me, certain traditions that I went to, there was just such a sense of expectancy. I want to learn from that. There's an expectancy going, God's going to do something. God is going to meet with us. We're going to meet with God. And I think that's what David's getting at here. We want to listen to God's voice, expecting him to speak to us. We want to look at his word, expecting God to speak things we need to hear, the questions we need to be asking. What is it you want to show me about yourself, Lord? Lord, just all this stuff's going on. The last thing I want to do is read the next bit of my reading, but Lord, please just in your mercy, speak to me things I need to hear. That just didn't speak to me at all, Lord, but I just pray tomorrow when I read it, you would speak to me. Expecting God to speak and to work. Listening to God's voice. I think to grow in worship, we need to say we want more than what we currently know of God. And sometimes we think, is that ungrateful? Is that, no, Lord God, you've given us everything, so it's wrong to ask for more. It's not wrong to ask for more. David asks for more here. He wants to gaze on God's beauty. He wants to seek him in his temple. We can learn from that prayer. So as we come to the end of our time in this psalm, Psalm 27, what are these sort of frames, these coat hangers, if you like, that David tries to present his desire to grow in worship around? The first is that worship is about receiving God's welcome. And that is so important that we kind of think worship is something we do. It's something we've got to do on top of everything else. So now you're telling me we've got to grow in worship. I'm trying to do my job. I'm trying to look after the family. I'm trying just to get through the day. Don't add worship to the list. But actually, worship is just about receiving God's grace. Recognizing, God, you are my light and my salvation. You reached down, you scooped me up, you rescued me. I want to get to know you more. I want to receive from you your grace. And as we receive God's welcome, we begin to be changed. We'll think about this more in the coming weeks, but we love, says God's word, because God first loved us. We serve one another because God first served us. We forgive one another because God first forgave us. All those things begin as we receive from God's grace. We see God's beauty. We want to see more of God's beauty in the face of Christ as we look to him. We want to listen to God's voice and expect him to speak to us through his word by his spirit, things we need to hear, things that he has for us to grow in, to repent of, to respond to. So pulling all that together, how do we go about growing in worship? Just a few things as we finish. And you could just say any number of things here, but I think one of them is commit yourself to an ordinary Christian life. It's not sexy, it's not rocket science, but commit yourself. That basically means do the things that Christians do. Read your Bible, seek to pray, meet with other Christians, share the gospel as you have opportunity. Some church traditions call that the means of grace, the means by which people access God's grace. But just keep doing those things, because it's as you come into contact with God and his word, as you come into contact with him in prayer, as you come into contact with God's people, as you have to explain the gospel to others, you will grow in worship. And secondly, I think, ask God to move you from duty to delight. That's, if you like, the next step. There's a sense where that first step maybe is calling us to duty. There'll be seasons in our lives we go, I just don't feel it, and therefore I'm just not going to turn up. I'm just not going to, the Bible's dead to me, why would I read it? There is a right sense of duty to go, I'm going to trust, Lord, even in this dark season, that this is your word and you're going to speak to me, that these are your people and I need to meet with them, that that gospel is true and I'm going to share it however falteringly. There's a place for duty, but our longing is not to stay there, not to stay with duty, but to move beyond it to delight, to enjoying God, to seeing his beauty. We should never be satisfied with a dutiful Christian life. That may be God's will for us for a season, but we need to grow and to ask for that delight. And just the final thing, we've already said it really, but to learn to be more expectant that God has more of himself to reveal to us. Again, I don't know what that does mean for individuals in the room. I don't even know what that means for us as a church currently. We're thinking about these growth priorities. God may have other things in store for us. We want to be thinking about the future as a church. But Psalm 27 is an expectant prayer. David is expectant that God will answer this prayer. It's a prayer full of longing for more of God's presence, for more of God's beauty. And also, encouragingly for us, it's a prayer full of confidence. He brings his longings to God, but he does it confidently that God will, in good time, satisfy those longings. Look at verses 13 to 14, the way the psalm ends. David says this, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Sometimes worship involves waiting. But we wait as we long for more of God. We don't say the waiting is the whole story. David says there's more of God for us to know. We could be confident as we pray this prayer with him that God will have more to show us of himself. And that will do us good and equip us for whatever work he has prepared for us to do in the coming months ahead, whether as individuals or as a church. Commit yourself to an ordinary Christian life. Ask God to move you from duty to delight. Learn to be more expectant that God has more of himself to reveal to you. Let's pray together. Let's pray. In the quiet, if you did identify one thing you desperately want God to do in your life, bring that before him. Be honest about that. But also try and let that voice of David, that voice of this psalm, speak to your heart. Ask yourself, do you expect God to reveal himself to you, or do you think that stopped a long time ago? Ask God to forgive you for that lack of expectancy and ask him to encourage you in the days and weeks ahead that he is a speaking God. He is an active God. There is more of him for you to know and experience. Ask yourself, are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking life your way? Do you actually want to gaze in the beauty of the Lord, or does that not bother you? You just want your life to be the way you want it to be. Ask yourself why that is. Think about this light and this salvation that God offers everyone who trusts in Jesus, who bows the knee before him. The words of David again. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Would this be our prayer this morning, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen.